This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine conflict and the changes in European governance, European political conversation, European citizenry since the attack in February of 2022. I welcome Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe, writing about one small town in eastern Germany, Reichenbach im Vogtland. It is at the lower end of Lower Saxony. It's near the international border. But at the same time, Judy writes in her Strategic Europe blog post that it's retained all of the magic of 19th, 18th, 17th century Germany because it was not destroyed in the Second War. Judy, a very good evening to you. You use Reichenbach as an example of what must change in Germany. But before we get to that, I wanted you to reflect upon your time in Reichenbach. How are the people today? How are they about the war in Ukraine? Could you tell? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me on your great show. Well, it's actually very difficult to tell because I was there on very early Sunday morning, full of sunshine, full of blue sky, and even the little bakeries were closed. And the only place that was open was the town hall, the Rathaus, because there they were hosting a fantastic federal competition for young musicians, gathering there and in other towns and cities in this part of Germany for the big annual competition. And so the people I met were locals who were looking after the town hall. And frankly, since this was about music and culture, this was really inappropriate to talk about Ukraine. But certainly my impressions were quite interesting because unlike, say, a lot of towns or shop windows in say, Berlin or the big cities here, there wasn't a Ukrainian flag in sight. But on the other hand, the town council is going out of its way to make the Ukrainian refugees completely welcome.
What is significant here is that this is a town that saw the 20th century tragedies coming and going. I repeat your presentation in your essay because the dates that are critical here are about the American arrival and the Soviet arrival. But before that, there was the horror of the Second War, and I believe there was one of the worst of the camps nearby. So the people of Reichenbach were acquainted with the crisis that was coming. In 1945, the U.S. arrived, and then, because of negotiations in 1945, the U.S. left, and the Soviets arrived. Are there scars of the Soviets, or did they leave the town alone?
The scars are really the kind of economic and political structures that the Soviet occupation set up. Businesses were not left alone to get on with things. Everything was put into the hands of the state. It's for a town that could boast 30,000 people and it prided itself on brickworks and printing. It hasn't done badly despite the occupation, despite the reunification, despite having another attempt at rebuilding their lives. It's run down a little, as most of these towns are. And just more importantly, the young people are leaving. The population has dropped from about 30,000 to in the 1950s, 60s, to under 20,000. And the young people have left. There's not many prospects there. But on the other hand, those that stay, it's telling there's two schools there, two high schools and kindergartens. And in some ways, maybe the Ukrainian refugees will give the town a bit of a lift and give it a bit more life.
The essay also takes into account an image of Europe. And Reichenbach is a microcosm of the macro story of what happened after the Soviet occupation of Eastern Europe and Eastern Germany. You present a triangle. One part of the triangle is NATO for security. Another part of the triangle is the EU for prosperity. And then the third part of the triangle is missing. It was Russia. It's gone away. What is the thinking, your thinking about that third part of the triangle? What is Germany's thinking about what comes after the conflict in Ukraine?
Instead of waiting for the conflict, the war, by the way, not conflict in Ukraine, to end, instead of waiting, this triangle, one side which did include Russia and which influenced Germany's policy towards NATO and the EU, by the way, side of the triangle must be replaced by Ukraine and Eastern Europe, Moldova, Belarus, Armenia, and Georgia. And this would be the kind of new beginning of a much needed revamp of German foreign policy. The old triangle didn't serve anybody well because it was built on the status quo. And Ukraine has upended the status quo. And now Germany has to really take a very hard and sober look at its foreign policy in terms of security, in terms of supporting NATO, in terms of changing the direction of EU, and in terms of looking at Eastern Europe as sovereign independent states in their own right and not through the prism of Russia.
Reichenbach im Vogtland is all the way towards Eastern Europe. And if I read your essay correctly, Eastern Europe is available to be developed in place of the Soviet, then Russian Federation Empire and its threats. Why wasn't Eastern Europe folded into the third part of the triangle for these last 70 years? What held Germany back?
What held Germany back was a combination of history and this tortuous relationship between Russia and Germany that goes over the centuries of war and conflict or of cooperation and other issues, and of course the Second World War. And the second thing is that there is an element of the political class here in Germany, and especially during the 1970s, 80s, this was the Eastern Europe, the Eastern policy, the Ostpolitik, that the Soviet Union, we've got to reach out to the Soviet Union, just matter the rest of the region in any case wasn't independent, and this is our concern, was the German view, reach out, make it stable. It was all about stability, not about democracy, not about values. It's all about stability during the Cold War. And now the war in Ukraine has finally changed this attitude that the German elites must take its eastern neighbors seriously and in their own right, and this is long overdue.
It's long overdue. So here we are, Reichenbach im Vogtland, Saxony, and then Eastern Germany, and now all of Germany. Is it prepared to move into the? It's the Czech Republic that's right across the border from Reichenbach. Is it prepared? Is it preparing for after the war, some termination? Possibly a frozen conflict zone, but in any event, some termination. After the war, to devote the resources that it had in Moscow to Czechia or Slovak Republic or Poland. Does it talk that way?
Well, that's a very different question because these countries are already in the European Union and in NATO. We're talking about the other Eastern Europe. You're talking about Central Europe, which feels secure and safe now that they are in both the transatlantic, the Euro-transatlantic structures. We're talking about a bit further afield. Ukraine, it's not that far away. Belarus, that's not far away. Moldova, it's a neighbor of Romania, which is in the EU and NATO. And what's at issue here is how Germany, being the biggest economy in the EU, is going to influence and shape EU's policy towards this eastern part of Europe, with the aim, ultimately, of making the continent whole and free. This was the aspiration of 1989. This was the aspiration of coming home. And now the transformations, which are incomplete, have to be finished sooner or later.
So if I now understand correctly, this is about Western Balkans, the part that are not in the EU yet. This is about Moldova, not in the EU. Does it reach all the way to Armenia, to Azerbaijan?
Yes. Well, certainly to Armenia, the Eastern Partnership, as it's called. These are the countries east of Central Europe, east of Poland, east of Czech Republic, east of Slovakia, east of Hungary, and what shouldn't happen is that these countries become a new cordon sanitaire between Russia and the EU. And these countries, as the war in Ukraine shows, is that they're desperate to join the EU, desperate to become closer to NATO, if not join it, desperate to become this community of democracies and values. And it's absolutely fundamental to them that they try to do this. And the key player in all of this is actually Germany.
I believe in your essay you say that is the EU ready for, is Germany ready for what is required, which is defense and also reorienting its trade, its energy trade. That conversation is going on now, Judy, or has it been decided given the violence of the war?
There's no doubt that Germany has to reorient its trade because of the sanctions, but we've had these discussions before. Is it going to create a new dependence by relying more on China, for instance? But I think there's another element involved in this, that the Russian attack on Ukraine, because it is in Europe, is actually forcing the German establishment to really think completely out of the box about security now and about safety and about relations with NATO, because the EU as a defence player simply cannot do this. It's up to NATO to do this. And NATO doesn't come cheap. Security doesn't come cheap. Modernising the armed forces doesn't come cheap. And this has been the big catalyst, I think, the war in Ukraine, for Germany to finally, maybe just modernise its foreign policy, make it relevant, make it into the 21st century, instead of hankering after the old ties with Russia, which was debilitating and, as we know, which actually cost a huge amount of political and economic damage to Germany over the past couple of years.
I'm speaking with Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She's in Berlin. We're talking about the transformation of European opinions of the future. We're going to turn to the EU itself, which is a mechanism for prosperity. Is it ready to change after the Ukraine war?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.